Welcome to Recovering Gleek, a podcast for all of your complicated feelings about the TV show Glee.
Hey friends, it's Ian from TV's The Recovering Gleek, a Glee podcast. When Lena and I first decided to make this podcast, we quickly realized we had literally zero idea of how to make that happen. Thankfully, a friend of ours recommended the podcasting platform Anchor. Anchor is free. It has all of the tools you need to record and edit your podcast from your phone or computer. You can even add songs from Spotify into it. And the absolute most amazing thing about Anchor is that they will distribute your podcast for you. So anywhere that you listen to Recovering Gleek, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, whatever weird third-party app you're using, it is there because Anchor put it there. And the icing on the cake is that you can make money from your podcast through Anchor with no minimum listenership. All you have to do is record an ad, which is why I am recording an ad right now, because I want money very badly. It is everything you need to make a podcast in one place. Download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started.
Boy, I'm trying to meet your mama on a Sunday, then release a minisode on a Monday. Never need no one else, babe, 'cause I'll be minisoding for you. I didn't think through that last line at all.
I liked it.
Hi, welcome to French Cafe Minisode.
Hi.
The part that is needed to fix Lena's microphone is in the mail.
Yeah.
So we're French Cafeing it, and maybe we'll do a French Cafe Michael. We'll see.
Oh, man. We will see. I hope not. Not that I don't enjoy this French Cafe thing we got going on, but I don't know that it sounds the best.
Yeah. It's there's a lot of background noise and echoes, so what's up? Shout out to a friend of the podcast, Cameron, again for that Monday song suggestion.
Hell yeah, Cameron.
If you guys have songs that have Monday in them, please send them to us. I am so lazy and I have exhausted all the Monday songs that I know off the top of my head.
Mm-hmm. Ian, happy closing.
Lena, happy closing.
Ian, you close Ragtime today.
I do.
How do you feel?
The era of Ragtime had come to an end.
Aw, are you all gonna cry?
Like a tune played on a player piano, but we did not know that yet. After Cole House Walker Jr.'s
death. Okay, got it.
Probably. I don't know. Will I cry? Probably not, because yeah. I've never cried in my whole life.
I've never seen him.
Have you seen me cry?
I have.
Okay, I was gonna say, that's shocking if
no,
you haven't.
I have.
But I am like a person that doesn't cry frequently.
Yes.
Usually I don't process that things are happening until like a while after they
yes.
happened. So if I were a betting man, I would say that I will not cry, but I would say that people and the cast will. Mm-hmm. And it's sad. I really like this production. I really like Ragtime as a show. It'll be sad for it to be over.
Yeah.
And you're closing. What was that stutter? You're closing Mamma Mia Comedy of Errors tonight.
I am closing Mamma Mia Comedy of Errors. Am I going to cry? Maybe. Only because I had a dream that I was married to a cast member, and I think we'd make good spouses now. I'll tell you about it later.
No, I'm going to cut it out, and you're telling me about it right now. Be right back, everyone. Hey, we're back, and I guessed who it was immediately.
It was last night. I woke up, and I was like, Glee. Me, that was so pleasant.
And first guess, I got it right. Because if I know anyone on the face of this earth, it is LPC Lena Knetzer.
You know, I'm like very easy to read.
You know what we're not closing though?
Pirates of Penzance. Do we ever sing that?
No, it's never sung.
I say that. Am I the only person who says the Pirates of Penzance?
I truly think that's you and the Major General are the only ones who ever say the title of the show.
When does he say it?
Right after. He says, the Pirates of Penzance.
Oh, got it.
I've heard of them. Yeah.
Wow.
Wow. And on our curtain. You nerds have until October 9th to see that show.
Could you imagine?
I can.
Get
we had someone show up.
Get your butts down to Cedar City, Utah.
What's
Take a
up?
Plane and then a bus.
What's up? Check it out.
You ready to get into this mini-sode?
Heck yeah. Hi, everyone. My name is Ian Allred. I'm closing Ragtime tonight, and I'm a mini-gleek.
Hey, what's up, you guys? My name is Lena Knatzer. I'm closing Comedy of Errors tonight, and I'm a mini-gleek. By the time you guys listen to this, we will have already closed.
Yeah, they'll be long gone. They will be dead and buried.
Yeah.
Well, on that note, let's talk about what episode is this?
Yes/no.
Okay.
Up first, let's kick things off with a little person I like to call Danae. That's not her real name. That's just what I like to call her.
Lena just loves attaching nicknames to people, as evidenced by the first sentence of this email. Hey, Ian and LPC.
I think Danae is the only person who, like, called me LPC in an email, unless I'm, like, absolutely mistaken.
You might be correct. I have a memory of other ones, but it might just be because I think I read Danae's twice, because I, like, opened it and then had to go on stage and then came back and read it again. We had one other person call you LPC.
Oh, yes. Two people, so...
Speaking of... Okay. Let's just read her email, because we need to talk about the Glee reboot. Because so many
Oh, my God.
Yeah.
Danae called me LBC in this email, along with friend of the podcast, Aaron, called me LBC in an email about the Glee reboot. Y'all, I'm pretty sure we girl bossed a little too close to the sun. And people are like, oh no. Listen, you guys. I'm psyched as fuck about this. That's more content, you guys.
For people who don't know, the head of Fox was interviewed this week and was asked about future plans for the studio. And he said, like, every network TV station, they're all going out of business. Mm-hmm. And their only hope of survival is rebooting shows that people like.
Hey.
He was like, I'm really open to a Glee reboot. There are no plans for a Glee reboot.
Yes, he's the only person who said that.
Truly, just the president of Fox was like, I'm open to it. Everyone and their cat sent it to us with apologies, being like, you guys, I'm so sorry to tell you this. Yes, I want that to happen so
literally,
bad.
Are you guys kidding me? I'm in. Also, hello, I'm auditioning.
Yes. Well, we pitched a Glee reboot starring us a few episodes back. Let's do it.
Essentially, we're just the incest twins from season 6.
Yes, we are the McCarthy twins. I don't know if I made up that their name is McCarthy.
I never remember their names. Nor do I want to.
Laura Dreyfus in Glee plays... Madison McCarthy, they are the McCarthy
twins.
Wow,
you are so smart.
Thank you.
But no, for real, you guys, everyone is like, this sucks. And listen, it will suck, but you know what? We will love it.
Yeah. OG Glee also sucked, and we have a whole podcast about it.
Are you kidding me, you guys? Yeah.
Fox Entertainment President Michael Thorne, if you're a fan of the podcast...
Which I know you are.
Hit us up. We're auditioning.
Seriously.
I want to be in it so bad.
They would never cast us as... No. Would they cast us as teenagers? Who knows?
It's a Ryan Murphy show, so yes.
I could absolutely see them casting, like, actual teenagers this time around, though, just with the High School Musical, the musical, the series thing going down.
But if they want to keep the spirit...
Yeah.
No spoilers, but I was watching the next episode of Glee yesterday, and Michael, and there's a scene where Quinn is singing a song, and I was like, this is fully a 30-year-old CEO of a company right now, and we're supposed to buy that she is 17.
Yeah, literally.
If they're
keeping,
in. Cast us.
Seriously.
So thank
also,
you.
Also, even if you don't, I will cover this whole show on the podcast. So, hello, more content. Everyone is like, what show are you going to do after Glee? Glee, baby!
Glee
We're doing
too.
The reboot, bitches! So, I'm in. Maybe that's my, like, power-hungry side, but I'm into it.
Well, back to Danae. However, Aaron, who did send us that email, is from the UK. So here's a jingle for you, Aaron.
International listener!
Now back to Danae. Hey, Ian and LPC. I am always so mixed about the Finchel engagement, and I think it is because the show cannot ever be consistent. I feel like this episode and the next episode do a pretty good job at showing that Finn and Rachel even considering this wedding is out of pure desperation and fear about the future, but then later episodes try to frame it as if it might actually be a good idea and we should root for it. I think the show made a mistake by having the conflict be, should Finn and Rachel listen to their loved ones and drop the engagement, or should they follow their heart and get married? I feel like the storyline would have worked better for me if the conflict were framed as something more like... This engagement is definitely going to blow up in their faces, but will they still make it through as a couple in the end, or will this ruin their relationship forever? But then on the upside, the storyline truly makes Quinn gayer than ever before. but I guess that's a topic for future episodes. Speaking of Quinn being gayer than ever before, this shot has always puzzled me.
It's the shot of Quinn in the pool looking over at Tina during the proposal.
Mm-hmm. Why did the director choose this shot? It's so weird. I love it. They literally have Will say, "When I first held your hand, I felt like I'd held it a million times." And then the camera moves to a shot of Tina looking at Quinn and Quinn fully looking at Tina's lips. They really said, "We can't queer bait with Faberi right now because we're trying to set up a Finchel engagement, so let's just pair up Quinn with another girl." And you know what? I am all for it. Go Quinn and Tina. God, I wish they were the ones getting engaged. I hope you have a lovely week, and I can't wait until your next episode. Danae, she, her.
What with the Quinn and Tina?
Queena!
Queena, I
Queen
like
bee
it.
Queen bee Queena?
Queen bee Queena, I like it.
Queen bees Queena, I should say.
Yes, double
plural.
Queens. Plural queens.
No spoilers, but Danae saying that the Finchel engagement really makes Quinn gayer than ever before.
Yeah.
A fact.
Yeah, literally.
I was watching Michael and I was like, what are we doing here, writers?
Hello. Oh my gosh. Can't wait to watch it.
But yes, Danae, that's why I like this storyline. I have not seen all the rest of this season since it aired. I've seen a few episodes recently.
Yes.
But watched it all the way through. I haven't seen it since it aired. So I have a very... And, the season's going on from here. So I have, a very spotty memory of what happens. But I just like the idea, like you were saying, of Finn and Rachel. Rachel, who has such big dreams for her future and is afraid that they won't come true. And Finn, who has absolutely no dreams for his future and is afraid of what that means. Them, clinging onto their relationship and taking it to such an extreme, I think is a very fun story idea, and also is true to what we've seen of their relationship, which is that they have a kind of toxic dependency on each other. Every time that they have dated each other, it's been healthy for a while and then gotten so volatile because they are so obsessed with each other and their relationship. And so I like the pure desperation of it.
Yeah.
Will I like how it plays out? I don't know because I don't remember.
We'll see, I guess. That's the fun thing about this little Potteroni. Danae, thank you so much for your message. Up next, we have a message from AJ.
Hi, Lena and Ian. So I was scrolling through Facebook the other day like the old soul that I am. And I came across a random article that compiled a list of unpopular Glee opinions. Anytime I see a BuzzFeed article about Glee, I immediately think of you two. So I just wanted to send a link over to you guys.
AJ, hold on. I hate that our brand is also BuzzFeed.
I love that.
I hate BuzzFeed.
I love BuzzFeed. It is the trash comfort food of the internet.
I am obsessed
with BuzzFeed.
Oh my God.
My favorite BuzzFeed article I ever read was an analysis of Lindsay Lohan. One time, she tweeted Emma Stone, tagged her in it, and was like, "Hey, Emma Stone, people always say we look like each other. Do you want to do a movie called Mean Girls 2 together?" And the entire BuzzFeed article is just unpacking that tweet. Where it's one, why does the fact that you look like each other mean that you should do a Mean Girl sequel together?
Yeah.
Where it's
Katie Heron didn't have a sister.
Yeah, are you doing a parent... are you getting the Parent Trap in Mean Girls confused? Are you trying to, do a crossover event?
Sure.
And then my favorite thing ever is they really dial into the phrasing of, do you want to do a movie called Mean Girls 2 together? And they say, does this mean that you would be willing to make literally any movie, regardless of the plot and regardless of its relation to Mean Girls 1, as long as it is called Mean Girls 2?
Also, isn't there already a Mean Girls 2?
There is. They also mentioned that. It's very bad. I tried to watch it because I was so bad, it'll be fun. It wasn't fun. I had to turn it off. It was just bad.
I feel so bad for those movies because I love bad movies.
Mm-hmm.
And when they're too bad, that sucks. Or when they're not bad enough, that sucks. There's a sweet spot in there you got to find.
That's the kickers when they're not bad enough.
Mm-hmm.
friend of the podcast, relative of the podcast, Alex Allred.
Never heard of him.
I haven't either. I made it. He's my imaginary friend.
Got it.
AJ, we will get back to you. I'm so sorry.
We promise.
We are spiraling because you said that BuzzFeed was our brand and I was flattered and Lena wasn't. Alex and his friends, I don't know who came up with it. They have like an analogy for what makes movies watchable. Mm-hmm. And it is a clock. And a 12 is a movie that is so, so, so fun to watch. And a 6 is a movie that is like just so unenjoyable that you turn it off. And the conceit is that like 1201 is like the best movie ever made. Mm. And 1159 is the worst movie ever made that is so, so bad that it's an absolute ball.
Yeah.
And the further you, like...
Ooh, this is cool. Mm-hmm,
like, the lower in quality a movie is, the closer it gets to 6 and the less enjoyable it is. Mm-hmm. But once it passes the level of bad that is 6, it starts getting more enjoyable the worse it gets.
Yes, absolutely.
So, like, the worst thing a movie can be is a 6 on a clock where it is, like, so middle of the road.
Yes, absolutely.
Like, if it's not going to be good, you have to make it so bad that it's, like, a 10:30.
Absolutely.
And it's you're a blast. Like,
oh, my gosh, I'm living for this.
Yeah. And Mean Girls...
Like, Old the movie. Like, you can't even believe what's going on, but you're laughing about
it. Like, Old was at least a 9.
Yeah.
Like, it was
definitely
so fun.
Definitely not a 10:30, but it was very fun.
Yeah. And I'd say Mean Girls is, like, Mean Girls 2 is, like, a 7.
Ugh. Ew.
Like, not a good time.
That's good. Alex, I've never heard of you, but that sounds like a pretty novel idea.
He says, thank you. I can only see him because he's my imaginary friend. Back to AJ. Anytime I see a BuzzFeed article about Glee, I immediately think of you too. Thank you, AJ. I'm flattered. So I just wanted to send a link over to you guys so you can look through it and see what you think if you haven't already seen or talked about it before. I know you guys have talked about some of these opinions. Number 4 about my Lord and Savior Quinn Fabre, but some of them are really kind of random and, dare I say, correct. Also, there are major spoilers in this list, so my apologies to Alex, LOL. Okay,
AJ, you've heard of Alex?
Whoa, AJ, hold on. Can you see Alex too? Okay, imaginary friend Alex, I am going to put a timestamp in that'll tell you where to, or like anyone else who wants to avoid spoilers. Yeah. Alex is the mascot of people who don't want spoilers.
He's the president of that fan club.
He is. I will insert a timestamp of where to skip to, where we stop talking about spoilers right here.
30 minutes, 50 seconds.
I'd love to hear if y'all agree with these opinions or not, and if any of them sparked any rage within you. Also, hear your forehead kisses. Sincerely, AJ, he, him.
AJ, thanks heaps. Ian, luckily, has not read most of this article.
Bow, 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 bow.
So I'm going to read these to him, and then we're going to get an honest first reaction, and we're going to say if we agree with them or not. Right?
All right, let's hear it.
Okay, ready? Number 1. Sue wasn't really a villain, and the New Directions wouldn't have been successful without her.
Disagree with the first half, agree with the second half.
I super disagree. I think she's super the villain. She sucks. Yeah. But we love
she
her.
She pushes an old woman down the stairs.
Yeah.
So that's a villain.
That's, the good guys don't really do that.
Yeah. I agree that her giving them adversity and giving them a common enemy did help them succeed. Mm-hmm. But she's a bad person.
Absolutely. Number 2. Kurt and Blaine were not a good couple and shouldn't have been Endgame.
I did. I read the first 2 and then I had to go on stage. So I did read this one. And I agree because I think Blaine is so bland and so boring and also so unfaithful and cheats later, spoiler alert.
Well, Ian's not here. I mean, you're Ian.
Ian is not here.
But your imaginary friend Alex is not here.
Lena's giving this podcast alone.
I'm alone.
To her imaginary friend, Ian.
I don't know that I agree with this. I think I don't agree with it. Mm-hmm. I like Kurt and Blaine together.
Yeah.
But I also agree that Blaine is very boring and Kurt is the best person alive.
Because each one, they have like a longer description below and they kind of mention like Blaine was very good for Kurt's like first love, mm-hmm. his, as they say, teenage dream. Mm-hmm. But then Kurt got to a point where he was like growing and learning and essentially like outgrew Blaine. Mm-hmm. But because Clayne was so popular, they kept them together.
Yeah, no,
even though it didn't
and
make
I
sense.
Absolutely buy yeah. that. Yeah. The next one is, in fact, Blaine would have been better off with Sebastian.
Disagree.
Who's Sebastian?
That character
they
doesn't exist.
They have a picture of Barry Allen here.
Okay. With Barry Allen? I just don't trust Sebastian as far as I can throw him.
I mean, like, listen, he is a femme fatale. He's very sexual. I hear where people are coming from. I don't think they would be better together.
No, I don't at all.
In fact, I don't I don't think we're supposed to root for Barry Allen in any way. No. So. The next one is, Quinn was one of the best written characters in the series. And listen, you guys, is Quinn like my favorite, one of my favorite characters in the series? Absolutely. Is she one of the best written? No.
No. I think Quinn is really saved by Diana Agron's acting, and that Diana Agron helps like really justify a lot of the like bonkers decisions they make for her. And I think that people have come up with very, very good analyses for Quinn.
Yes.
And like why she does all the stuff she does.
Yeah.
And like how it really delves into her character. And I've read a lot of those, and I think a lot of them are like really awesome and interesting. But what we have to realize is none of that is explicitly in the show.
Exactly.
And I think it's really awesome and cool that people have been able to find that stuff and come up with it. But what's on the page, I think, is pretty weak.
I absolutely agree. It's like specifically with like Quinn being queer coded, like all of that is, you know, we can definitely debate whether they like I think that like they're definitely queer baiting us and like a lot of it is pretty obvious, but it's never explicit, and that like I cannot give them credit for queer baiting me, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Next one is, Rachel and Finn had an incredibly toxic relationship and shouldn't have been together.
Oh yeah, baby.
I agree with this. I do think they should have been together. I would have liked to see them like break up and like continue on.
Yeah.
I think. I don't know.
I'll probably cut this out.
Go ahead.
But I think that was the plan.
Well, I know for a fact the plan was supposed to be they break up and then she comes back to Lima.
Yeah.
And then they end up together.
Yeah. But alas.
Quinn goes down.
Yeah.
Anyway. Number six is, Damian McGinty was actually really, really talented and deserved better storylines instead of constantly playing into the Irish stereotypes.
I agree that he deserves better storylines. I don't know how much I agree that like he was some great talent that was wasted.
Yeah.
I think he has a nice singing voice. Mm-hmm. Acting wise, I'm kind of like, yeah, sure.
No, yeah. I agree with the he deserved better storylines for sure. I do not think that Damian McGinty should have won the Glee Project.
No.
Like, hello, Lindsay Pierce. Hello, Alex Newell.
Yeah.
Like, come on. Next one is, Mercedes and Quinn had a great friendship and should have stayed friends after Quinn had her baby. Fat agree.
That should be popular. If people don't agree with that, they are kicked out.
Absolutely. You can't listen to my podcast anymore. Number eight, if Blaine, are you reading along?
No, I'm not.
Okay, good.
I was just scrolling through the emails.
Okay, sorry. Number eight, if Blaine was written as bisexual, he and Rachel could have been a really cute couple. I hate this. This is nails on a chalkboard to me. I really don't like it.
Their friendship
gives me the willies.
Yeah,
I really don't like it.
Their friendship already is like so grating to me. And it's less about their actual dynamic and more that I am like so sick of those two characters and all the attention they get. And I hate that as the show, I mean, the show has always been the Rachel show, but as the show moves forward, it becomes more and more the Blaine show, and it's just Blaine and Rachel all the time.
Yeah.
And frankly, the fact that Blaine was gay and so they could never be together was like the only thing keeping the show from only being about the two of them.
And, you know, speaking of that, I would have loved to see Blaine, you know, be actually bisexual.
Yeah, just not like, with Rachel.
Exactly. F***ing anyone else, please.
But you know who would have loved that? Ryan Murphy,
no,
baby.
No, he would have. But Ryan Murphy hates bisexuals.
That's true. That's
well, bisexuals don't exist.
Man,
so.
Ryan Murphy was like, catch 22. Either I make a show about a bisexual, or I make a show that has other characters besides Darren, Chris, and Leah Michelle. I can't.
Number nine, Dave Karofsky had one of the best character growths in the entire series.
I think I probably agree with this.
I think I agree as well. I think I agree. It's definitely a touchy subject, but I do agree.
I love a redemption arc. Hear me out. I love a redemption arc. Yeah.
Yeah.
And like, I have watched season six recently, and I mean, the spoiler people are gone. The fact that Blaine dates Dave is like, Blaine,
that sucks.
What's happening?
Literally.
But the fact that Dave is like in a healthy relationship and happy with who he is and, like, kinder to people, I really like, and I think it's a nice arc. Absolutely. I just wish he was happy with someone who wasn't the ex-boyfriend of the person he mercilessly bullied and threatened the life of. But,
yeah,
you know.
Absolutely. Number 10, Sam and Mercedes actually had the most mature relationship on the show and should have been Endgame. Agree. Duh. I've been saying this for 4 years. Do you agree? Mature. Would you say mature?
That's the thing is, I'm like, I need more of Sam Sadies before I can, like, definitively
also
say.
The thing is, we never know.
Yeah.
We never really get it, you know?
But we do get the renaissance of Sam Sadies in season 5. They get back together for a spell. And I do. So let me say, I am pro Sam Sadies Endgame. I just don't think I saw enough of them to be like they were the most mature couple on the show.
Yeah. Number 11. I don't like this one. This one pisses me off. Kurt wasn't actually that great of a singer, and there were people way more talented in the club. This one feels moot to me, specifically because, like, for you guys, like, that's Chris Colfer's real singing voice. I don't, like saying there are more talented people in the club, like, sure, but also that doesn't mean that Kurt isn't, like, a valid member of the club. And also, that's just specifically being mean, not to Kurt, to Chris Colfer, and I don't like that.
I just think that with, like, for example, with, like, math, you can definitively be like, this person is better at math because they can get the right answer. Mm-hmm. With, like, the arts, there is no right answer.
Yeah, absolutely.
I do agree that I think sometimes the writers give songs to Chris Colfer that I'm like, why did you give this to him? Mm-hmm. But then they give other songs to him that I'm like, he sounds amazing on this. He should sing like this more. I think people on the show had different types of voices and different styles of singing, and the writers really needed to figure out what their strong suits were, and sometimes they didn't, and sometimes they would just be like, great, and so Lea Michele gets every single song because we're too lazy to really work to the strengths of these other cast members.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah.
And I do agree with that, but I think some of these, you know, get a little personal to the actor.
Yeah.
I don't know. Number 12, Sebastian. Who the fuck is Sebastian,
you guys? Stop making these characters up.
And Santana had more chemistry than literally any of the actual couples on the show. This feels out of left field to me.
It's not.
But I know what they're talking about. I understand this. But also, like, what? They have one scene together.
In Michael, having just watched it yesterday, there is tension through the whole episode. I'm not going to say they have more chemistry than the real couples on the show.
Yeah.
But this is not out of left field.
Weird. Number 13. In the 5-year flash forward at the end of the series, Rachel should have ended up with Sam instead of Jesse.
No.
I disagree.
I really hated when Rachel and Sam dated.
I agree.
Especially because Sam already, when he was introduced into the show, was like Finn 2.0.
Yes, absolutely.
And then he did become his own character, but then it was like icky to me that he was like replacement Finn and dated Rachel because Finn wasn't around anymore.
I don't like this because I think Mercedes and Sam should have been together.
Yeah.
You know, and I personally really like Jesse and Rachel together. Mm-hmm. So, number 14. Brittany was an extremely overrated and highly unlikable character.
Disagree.
Huge disagree. Brittany's my fave. I hate this. The thing under this, they have like little like quotes from each of the people who like put them in, which like no hate to these people who sent these in. If you're listening to the podcast, hi. Maximum hate to you. I didn't like Brittany, especially when she didn't even know the names of people she considered friends. The show's excuse is that Brittany was just dumb, but in reality, she only really cared about Santana. Brittany was really overrated.
You guys, it's a joke.
It's literally a joke.
The fact that Mercedes. The fact,
know any of my friends' names.
Like, the fact that Brittany will call people by the wrong names is funny. Let's not read too much into these dumb jokes on a comedic TV show.
I know, literally. Number 15. Brittany and Santana had terrible chemistry and shouldn't have been together.
I disagree that they had terrible chemistry.
I disagree as well.
Hear me out. I like Brittana, I think, most of the time. And I like them after high school. Mm-hmm. there are times in high school when Santana is so manipulative of Brittany.
No, and I agree. It
creeps me out.
I agree. And that's the thing is I specifically think that their relationship is built on a throne of lies.
Yeah, on like coercion.
Mm-hmm. And like, you know, Santana, you know, a little bit being Brittany's abuser. Just a little, I don't know. But I do like them together. I don't agree that they don't have any chemistry. I think they super do. But shouldn't have been together, I think, is a question that we can keep talking about in the future. Number 16, you like this one. Kitty was actually more likable than some of the show's original characters.
Agree. What's number 17?
Rachel wasn't really that cringy or annoying. People just didn't understand her.
I agree with earlier seasons. Like, I mean, listen to season 1 of this podcast. I think she was cringy and annoying, but I think that was the point. And I think it like came from like a very sad place, and that was intentional. Yep. But then as the show went on and Lea Michele's star started to rise, mm-hmm. and Ryan Murphy was like, you are my queen, I'll give you whatever I want.
Seriously.
Then the cringiness and the annoying thing stuff stopped being intentional.
Yep.
And it was just like, oh, Rachel gets everything all the time, and we're also supposed to think that she's like cool and hot now. And yeah. Then I stopped liking her.
I agree. Number 18, Roderick had one of the best singing voices of anyone on the show. Agree.
I love Roderick. He's got a fantastic voice.
19, the New Directions version of Don't Stop Believin' is actually terrible. I disagree with this.
I really listened like to that, and something awakens in me.
I know, it's beautiful. Number 20, Jesse St. James should have been on the show longer because he and Rachel had incredible chemistry. I agree.
Even without Rachel, he just should have been on the show longer.
My God. 21, Santana was actually a terrible character and never had any real character development throughout the series.
Disagree.
I absolutely disagree. Number 22, this is wild. This is the craziest one to me. Rachel was actually a way better character once she moved to New York.
Oh.
I know.
No.
I know.
Uh-uh.
I know.
I disagree with that so strongly I can't put it into words.
I know. It's...
I don't want to watch Rachel's Wish Fulfillment Show.
No, I don't.
I'm not interested.
No, I don't. Yep. It's whack. Number 23. And finally, the Glee version of Run, Joey, Run was chef's kiss perfection.
Agree.
I agree.
Incredible.
And that's the end of it.
Good. Wow.
Some of those were pretty unpopular.
True.
Some of those should just be everyone's opinions.
Yeah, honestly, Run, Joey, Run. Come on.
Seriously.
It's a banger.
Banger. AJ, thanks heaps for sending us that article. Up next, we have a message from Jennifer.
Hey, friendos. Love the show. Number 1. Yes, you can get a credit card at 18, even if you're in high school. He can also get a credit card at 17 if his mother co-opens it with him. That was just like straight out of the gate. We did talk about on yes/no, there's a mention of Finn having a credit card.
Finn opens up a credit card to get the ring for Rachel.
And we were like, can he do that? He can.
We don't know sure about credit.
Given it's mid-year of his senior year, it's not really that surprising he has one. Also, yes, you both need credit cards. What?
Why though? Okay, listen. I grew up in a Gordon Ramsay household, so I'm very afraid of credit cards. I also am not very responsible. I don't think I would pay it off quick enough.
I have this thing called anxiety, where I take every like warning too far. Mm-hmm. And so growing up, we were always taught in school and stuff during mm-hmm. like finance classes, like be careful of credit cards because it's easy to overspend and get into debt. Mm-hmm. And my anxious brain interpreted that as don't ever get a credit card ever.
Literally, I purchased my car. Listen, you guys, I purchased my car in cash. Because I'm so nervous to build credit.
Yes, I'm terrified.
I know. I also grew up in my parents, we didn't have like an awesome financial situation. And like my parents were both in a lot of like debt growing up. They're both now in better places and like, you know, dealing with their debt. But like so scary. Like they went to like Dave Ramsey conventions and would like very publicly like cut
You said Gordon Ramsay at
Did
the
Did I say Gordon Ramsay?
And I was like, I guess I don't know something about Gordon Ramsay.
See, and listen, that BuzzFeed article hates that Brittany doesn't know anyone's names. I don't know anyone's his name.
If you hate Britney S. Pierce, you hate us.
You hate Lena Paige Knatter. Anyway, Dave Ramsey. Do you know who Dave Ramsey is?
I just looked him up. He is an American radio show host.
He's so
scary. Imagine he talked a lot about debt and credit cards and the evils of them.
Yeah, so evil. It was like, don't go to college until you can afford it. And it was like, what? Are you kidding? It's like, how long are you supposed to wait? You can't get a job without a degree.
Yeah. Yeah.
I have problems. Jennifer, back to you.
So Jennifer just told people to need credit cards. Open a credit card, pay Netflix with it, or like one tank of gas a month, and build your credit because it will probably help you later. Sorry for the boring and ask for advice, but I really, really wish in hindsight someone would have told me this when I was your age. Jennifer, thank you for the boring and ask for advice because we really need it. Because I have a horrible fear of credit cards, and I'm aware that building credit is an important thing that I have not really done. All right. 2. I disagree about without you. I realize that Finn ended up feeling like, oh, okay, Rachel's the best thing in my life, blah, blah, blah. But watching the episode last night so I could listen to the pod this morning, I really loved it. My reading of the song and situation was Finn, someone Rachel cares about, is talking about how he is a fundamental loser who means nothing to anyone. I read that song as Rachel telling him, no, you have value. Yes, value to her, but also you are just a valuable person who I care about, and I don't want you to feel hopeless or worthless because I think you're inherently valuable and you have changed my life for the better. I think it's sweet and lovely. 3. I'm Team Ian on the Will Emma scene about her OCD. Yes, of course, people who have mental illnesses are fully worthy of love regardless of how under control their illness is and are 100% inherently valuable. But while no one's mental illness is their fault, that doesn't mean that it's not a factor for the other person in their relationship. I have mental illnesses that often impact my life and sometimes highly impact my marriage. My husband had to seriously consider the whole, can I live with this the rest of my life if nothing improves or another major episode happens? And we also had to have some uncomfortable and sometimes painful conversations before we got married. It sucked for both of us, especially me, but it was totally necessary. Emma is not undeserving of love, but Will is also allowed to consider how her mental illness might impact their lives together, especially in terms of major life events like having a child. And while I love that they still got engaged, it would have been valid for him to not want to. Did the writers do a good job of writing it? No, although it was kind of realistic, especially for the mid-2000s. Would the writers have done a terrible job writing it if they broke up? Abso-fucking-lutely. Do the writers do a good job handling her mental illness at all? Almost never. But I agree with Ian that it's valid for him to consider that and discuss it with her, and I agree with both of you that I like her reaction. Sorry for the novel, had to wake up at 5 a.m., 5:30 a.m. to catch up on literally 685 unread emails from my 3-day vacation, and am now procrastinating on finishing. Consensual forehead kisses, thanks for making a pod I love. Jen, she, her.
Jen, thank you so much. Congrats on going on a vacation. That sounds nice. A, thank you so much for the credit advice. Frankly, that is very helpful, and I think when my contract ends, I'm going to get a credit card.
I have literally been talking to my dad about getting a credit card since the pandemic started. Mm-hmm. The thing is,
How are we so incapable as adults?
I am just... Anything that has... This is why I'm an actor. Anything that has to do with being an adult, I hate so much that, like, my body just, like, has an adverse reaction and shuts down. And so, like, every time that I start researching, like, credit cards and, like, what's a good card to get and, like, a good company to start with and all that stuff, I will start reading it for, like, 3 minutes and then I'll start getting anxiety and then I'll stop being able to focus and then I'll be like, I'm just going to take a break and then I I never come back to it.
I hear you. Oh, I hear you. Number 2. I like your thoughts on without you.
No, I really like them. I truly think I was just really pissed off that Lea Michele was singing again.
Oh, listen. Me too.
I, like, the show has gotten to the point where she is featured so much that she's always facing an uphill battle with getting me on board with what's happening.
Oh my God, absolutely. So, like, I'm already not on your team, sister.
Exactly. Like. So I think literally any other character in this exact circumstance, I would have been like, lovely, for all the reasons you said, because I think what you said is so beautiful. But I was like, Rachel having another feature in this episode, enough already.
No, seriously.
Well,
Jen, thanks heaps.
Godspeed with those 685 unread emails.
How many unread emails do you have?
I was going to say, you're in good company. I have 2,216.
Woof, let me check mine.
Here's the thing, though. I do check my
emails. I have 3,431.
I do check my email every day and, like, scroll to see if anything is important.
Yeah, I get a lot of spam.
I'm just really bad at deleting spam.
Yeah. Ian took my phone from me the other day. We were out to eat and to, like, text a friend. And he hands my phone back to me and says, I don't know how many I have.
You had 71 unread text messages.
And then I said, I'm mentally ill. So good luck with your emails. That sounds really, really upsetting.
But I would love to just put a finer point on why I was borrowing your phone. Because we were at a winery for someone's birthday. And someone had brought their Bluetooth speaker to play music. And Lena and I were trying to get them to play the Tokyo Drift song from Fast and Furious 2 Tokyo Drift. And so I was texting them on as many people's phones as I could get, saying, play the theme from Tokyo Drift.
And then she did. And listen, you guys, it was so embarrassing. And then our boss showed up.
Well, it's like, one of the fanciest places in town. Uh-huh. Everyone is, like, dressed all nice, and it's just like, Fast and Furious! Drift! Drift! Drift!
I love that song. It's so good. That song has no business being as good as it is. Jen, again, thanks heaps. Up next, we have a message from Amanda.
Hey, besties. It's Amanda. Again, I have a very controversial yet brave opinion that might ruffle some feathers. But personally, I think that the best recurring character in the podcast is the squeaky door in the background. And I think the squeaky door in the background is giving the asshole fly, the bigot fly, if you will, a run for its money. And I know this is going to be, you know, kind of controversial. I know this is going to be kind of divisive. But I just wanted to put that out there. That's just my opinion. Please don't cancel me. I love you. Goodbye.
Oh, God. Amanda, I got your message, and it felt like the wind had been knocked out of me. At least in my heart, I didn't think it would be that noticeable.
No, as a person who edits the podcast, sometimes it happens at a time where, like, when we usually record on separate mics, mm-hmm. where, like, whoever is closer to the door isn't speaking, and so, like, I can edit it out. But then sometimes we're in the middle of a very important discussion and one of my roommates, like, walks in from rehearsal or is leaving somewhere and the squeaky door rears its ugly head. And I'm like, well, that's just a part of the podcast now.
No, literally. Well, you know, and that's just, like, the reality of us living with other people. Mm-hmm. We're not, like, professional podcasters by any mean.
And living in these apartments that have not been touched since they were built in, like, the 1970s.
Literally. So, Amanda, thanks for fully knocking the wind out of me when I heard that. I was like, oh my God, she read me to filth. It was really funny.
This is, in my opinion, maybe, like, top 5 funniest messages you've ever received. I love this message. Squeaky door, friend of the podcast, just has got to get their opinion said.
Honestly, it's
has
like,
got to have their voice be
I
heard.
I wonder, well, since the fly is a bigot, what is the squeaky door? Like, is the squeaky door our friend? Is the squeaky door our enemy? Like, what kind of opinions does the squeaky door have?
I think the squeaky door just truly hates Glee and could not care less about it. Mm. And it tries to be polite because it's like, I know this is your whole thing, but yeah. Every once in a while it's like, Shut up!
Like, enough already.
It's like, enough about this show. Seriously. It's been off the air for 6 years.
And there's like, one mention of a reboot, not even a real reboot.
Well, guess what, Squeaky Door? Take that up with Michael Thorne.
Seriously.
Did you? Oh my gosh!
That was so rude.
I will take you off your hinges. You can start your own podcast about The Doors.
The band.
About Three Doors Down by Dolly Parton.
Wait, you mean, hold on, wait. We have to unpack all of that. Three Doors Down by Dolly Parton? Do you mean Two Doors Down? The band Three Doors Down.
And The Doors.
And The Doors.
It's a...
What the fuck is going on in here on this day?
We're talking about. It is a Doors, Three Doors Down discography.
Sure.
And also Two Doors Down by Dolly Parton. Just to get, that's enough. I mean, that'd be a lot of episodes.
No, that's so many.
You do all the Doors discography. I can't say that word. All the Three Doors Down. Mm-hmm. And then a bonus episode about Dolly Parton.
Two doors down, we're laughing and drinking and having a party. Two doors down, we're not a winner.
Well, check out the Squeaky Doors podcast. Three the Doors Down.
My God.
The Three Doors Down.
Yeah.
Is the name of the podcast.
The Three the Doors. The Three the Doors.
The Three the Doors Down. Coming to a streaming service near you, I'm sure, soon.
Oh my God. That is so stupid funny. Okay, well, thank you guys. That is your mini-sode. So happy you could be here today. Are you ready to play the relative pitch game?
Heck yeah. It is genuinely me first this time.
Yes.
It was you last time. We've got Summer Nights from Gress. We got Wedding Bell Blues by Lauren Nyro. Mm-hmm. We have Moves Like Jagger / Jumping Jack Flash by Maroon 5 / The Rolling Stones. We have The First Time Ever I Saw Your Face by Roberta Flack. Without You by David Guetta. We Found Love by Rihanna.
Okay. What should you sing this week? I think you should sing Summer Nights.
Okay.
What did you want to sing? I hate that. No. I hate when you do that. What did you want to sing? Tell me what you wanted to sing.
I wanted to sing Summer Nights.
Fine. No. What did you want to sing?
No, because that's cheating.
What did you want to sing?
I wanted to sing Wedding Bell Blues, but I'm doing...
Okay, fine. Do Wedding Bell Blues.
Summer
do Wedding
Nights.
Bell Blues.
I'm doing Summer Nights.
I thought I was being nice by giving you the musical theater one. Don't touch me. We're not at a French cafe.
This would have been my second pick.
The way you get so disappointed every time I pick... That's the name of the game, trucker.
I know.
Get out of town.
I was trying to secret it to you. I was trying to, like, do a little psychic link. If you had looked at me, I was literally
staring at you. Do you know how the secret works at all?
Yes, it's manifesting.
You were...
I was trying to manifest Wedding Bell Blues, and it didn't work.
Did you put it on a vision board?
Yes, I did. All right, Summer Nights.
I thought I was being so nice by giving you the musical theater one.
I am batting zero on this game recently, so that will probably continue today. Let's see. Summer sun, something's begun, but those summer nights. Tell me more, tell me more. Was it love at first sight? This is a part that they cut out of the episode, which is good because this next lyric, tell me more, did she put up a fight? What's that about?
What's that about?
Kanicki, get out of here. There is a very funny College Humor sketch about that lyric, though.
I do love College Humor.
That it's all of them singing it, and then Kanicki does she put up a fight? And then everyone, all the teepers are like, whoa, Kanicki, that is so jacked up. No means no, man. And then it just keeps getting, like, Kanicki keeps saying more and more, like, very disturbing things. Okay, so I think the summer fun, something's begun, is D flat to A flat to B flat. I'm a half step flat.
Damn it.
I will never win this game ever again. I will never win this game without you. Without you. Well, I'm not giving you that one now. True. You're going to do We Found Love by Rihanna.
I knew you were going to say that.
A good song.
It is.
God, I love this song. Someone the other day messaged us. I think they tweeted at us and they said, "We found love turns 10 years old this year."
That is wild.
And I was literally going to tweet back and be like, "Shut up, you liar." But then I was like, I don't know if the tone will come across over text.
So let's let it come across over the podcast. Say it.
Shut up, you liar. That's sarcasm. That's me coming to grips with my own mortality.
Asterisks. Go to the footnote. Sarcasm.
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go. Yellow dime. Don't do it yet.
You're fine.
Side by side, as your shadow crosses mine, what it takes to come alive. It's the way I'm feeling, I just can't deny. But I gotta let it go. We found love in a hopeless place. We found love in...
What? Okay. Is that good enough?
Yeah, that's good enough.
Okay.
Okay, so you think "we found love in a hopeless place" is B flat, G flat, F. Spot on. Spot
on. Victoria!
Oh my god.
All red.
No!
No, the door. The three doors, the door down.
The three, the doors down.
The doors down.
I am nervous because our configuration is different than it usually is right now, that the mic will not be picking up the door and it will just be silent. imagine you heard a squeaky door if you didn't.
Wow, that bit will be...
Maybe I'll have to like record the door by itself and then like edit it in post.
That's funny.
And it will be a mystery to all you listeners if it was live or if I edited it in post. You'll never know. Well,
wow, you guys, that is your mini-sode. We will see you same place this next Wednesday to talk about Michael. If you have thoughts about that episode and you want to be featured on our next mini-sode, go ahead and send those thoughts to our Gmail at recoveringgleek@gmail.com, or you can send them to our anchor, anchor.fm/recoveringgleek, if you want to send us a voicemail.
Thank you all for coming. Thank you for listening to this minisode. We'll see you on Wednesday.
Seriously. Is that how you learned how to spell that word? Because me too.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Niagahubber was neighbor.
Oh, wow. I always use Shakespeare. Like to this day.
Yes. Well, and if you want to check out, we are closing Ragtime and Comedy of Errors tonight.
If you want to check out
Pirates of Penzance, the Utah Shakespeare Festival runs through October 9th.
Mm-hmm. We'll catch you later, players. Love you so much. Here is a mini kiss on your mini forehead. Thanks for being here.
Thank you for listening to Recovering Gleek. You can find us on Instagram and TikTok at recoveringgleek_podcast. If you liked our podcast, be sure to leave a review. And tell your friends, please.